for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, the beautiful Carly Billings.
Oh, gosh, golly. Hey, hi, hello. We're back again for another wonderful installment, our last installment of the year of Before There Were Hashtags, Eric.
I know. What? Oh, my goodness. Christmas may be over, but... Guestmas?
Yeah, we're still in the giving spirit. We're giving you the gift of our last guest of the year.
Yes. So with us today is my good friend, my college friend, my neighbor, Nico Murillo is here.
What's up? What's up? Before there were hashtags, happy to be here.
We're so excited to have you, Nico. How was your holiday?
My holiday was really chill. You know, we're... in quarantine, just keeping things really low risk. So yeah. It was a chill one.
That's good. That's good. I don't know. I've been seeing like videos of you and your fam jam, just like having the best time. What's it been like?
Yeah, it's very wholesome. So my family's Colombian. So any like little get together that we do, there's always lots of food and dancing. We've just been doing that in smaller portions.
Nice.
Love it.
How about you guys? I love that I got to see you over the holidays too, Eric. Owen, you had your party. That was really cute.
Yeah, I had a little get together right before everything kind of went absolutely haywire. So I was glad that I kind of snuck that in just under the wire. And it was so lovely to see you, Nico.
Yeah, and you were missed, Carly.
Yeah,
I so missed y'all. I was thinking about you, and I love that y'all had such a nice time.
Yeah.
I love your background, Carly. It's so cool.
Thank you.
What is it?
It's the Moon Tarot card. It's like a little tapestry my cousin got.
Stunning. It's beautiful.
So cute.
Can I show you guys my new phone case? I just got a new phone last week.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. So cute.
It's the Lovers, but it's Morticia and Gomez Adams.
The best.
It's so cute.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
Give a little plug. Where did you get that from?
Honestly, it was a random little vendor.
That's so cute.
I will probably never see it again, but it was a moment.
But what a gift to the world.
Yeah, what a gift. I carry her with me literally everywhere I go.
Are you a big fan of the Addams Family?
You know what? I kind of am. Y'all should do an episode on it. I grew up on it.
Yeah, we should.
And there's a musical. There's a lot.
There's a lot of Addams Family content.
Okay, so quick side note on the Addams Family. What's your favorite part about the Addams Family? What do you love about it?
Good question. I don't know. It just reminds me of my childhood. So I love the nostalgia about it all. And I always liked creepy, like weird little things. So the Addams Family.
Nice. Well, you're in the right place because Carly is a spooky queen.
I love.
That's right.
You are also on a nostalgia podcast. So.
Yeah.
Also the right place.
Truly, I've been like wanting to manifest this collab since y'all started your podcast. So I'm happy that I'm here and I'm grateful.
Well you manifested it, baby. You're here.
And you're the coveted slot rounding out the year.
Oh like, my God, I feel so blessed.
Well, we feel blessed that you're here, Nico. This is so fun.
Well, Nico, for all of Guestmas, I've been asking all of our wonderful guests, what is it about pop culture that draws you to it? What do you love about pop culture? What was your first memories of engaging with pop culture?
What I love about pop culture is how it reflects just our times, you know, like if I think of the 2000s, I get like a visual right away, an image right away, like what music I was listening to. So I guess the power that it has to just transport you to another dimension, another time.
Yeah, no, it is like this snapshot in time that is so wonderful to look back on. And, you know,
sometimes not so wonderful, but.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah,
that's
totally
true.
Fair.
That's true. Yeah, it's interesting how certain things evoke certain aspects of time, certain like eras, certain genres, certain formulas of things. You're like, oh, that's very, very that time. So that is really neat.
I was even thinking recently, and this is so random, that there was sort of a time in like the early aughts that was like very blonde. Like we had like Christina, we had Paris, we had Britney,
yeah,
we had Hillary, mm-hmm. Lindsay,
Jessica Simpson,
Jessica.
That's right.
Lindsay went from a redhead to a blonde, and then all of a sudden, in like a matter of a few years, we got into like this Disney era in which it was all about the brunettes. We had Selena, we had Demi, we had Miley, and it just sort of the whole like look. It was just so random, but
yeah, that is cool
that like just like the pop culture look of the it girl, not to misgender Demi, but at the time the sort of popular it girls changed from this sort of Pam Anderson blonde to this more sultry brunette look.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you brought up Miley too, because she played Hannah Montana, and when she was Hannah, she was blonde. Like she wore a blonde wig to be this like personified, like pop diva. Because
all American kind of vibe, right? Yeah.
And so it really is indicative of who came before her. All these blondes, baby.
Blondes, baby. Well, we like to start every podcast off by taking 5 minutes to gas up our time machine and talk about the current pop culture that's going on. And there's been some things. We're ending the year with some fun little juicy topics. So
love that for us.
And we're getting into some fun topics too later on the pod. So here we go. I'm gonna set 5 minutes up on my timer.
Okay.
Here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Well, we've got to start off with my boys of BTS. You know, they're on vacation. Some of them are in quarantine in Korea. And unfortunately, poor Suga came down with Miss Rona.
Oh, God. It was, you know.
What are you going to do?
Coming.
That's a bummer.
His agency has said he's in good spirits and good health.
Aww.
You know. As this Omicron is going, you know, the symptoms are less. That doesn't mean that we treat it less severe, but it's, you know, it's passing people by a little bit easier, especially those that are double vaxxed. So go get vaxxed. But in other BTS news and Suga news, he's climbing up the charts with the song Girl of My Dreams with Juice WRLD. So, you know,
Juice WRLD.
Yeah, BTS continues their domination of the United States of America and North America as a whole.
Well, even when they're down, they're up. So
even when they're down, they're up.
Still not too bad to be BTS this year. Like,
yeah, truly.
What else is going on? I feel like y'all need to catch me up. My media news always come like a week late.
Okay, I don't know if this is like that recent, but this is gonna shock people. Did you guys know that Brenda Song and Macaulay Culkin
are dating?
I literally told you that. No, but they had a child this year and I didn't know about this. I found that out. Brenda Song and Macaulay Culkin, London Tipton and Kevin McAllister had a baby.
Yeah, they've been together for a long time though. They've been together
since
for like
2017.
Yeah. I feel like she must be really good for him because he had a rough...
Yeah, he had a rough few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's also like a really, I think Macaulay Culkin's a really interesting character where, yeah, he did have a rough few years, but I think people just painted him as child star gone like bummer town. And they like didn't give him maybe a chance in the same way that other folks get a chance. I don't know. Yeah. It was really weird because, yeah, he's like a weird alternative guy, but he's like, maybe he had a bit of a rough patch. Like
after you posted that, Eric, I went and searched, or like there's a YouTube video that was suggested to me, the Macaulay family tragedies, and like his whole family is riddled with tragedy.
Yeah,
it's really sad. So I hope that Brenda, you know, like gives some light and that they're happy together with their beautiful child.
Also, I love that his brother's on What's the show?
It's not a lot of things.
Yeah, Kieran Culkin is also like a big actor now.
Yeah, yeah.
Succession, that's the one that I'm looking for.
Oh, good for him.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a funny meme that was like, you call him Kellen McAllister, I call him Kieran Culkin's brother. And I laughed hard at that.
That's funny.
Yeah, wow.
In Britney news, she posted a video online of her singing.
Oh my god, yeah, epic.
You know what?
I love is the remixes that people have like gotten really creative with it. It's amazing.
To be fair, like, it's not perfect. It doesn't sound amazing, but what it does show is she does have power and she does have a voice. It's sort of all over the place in terms of pitch, and
but it's moldable. Like it's something moldable.
It's something that she can, that is totally workable, and she has some great power, some great high notes. It's just, it's an acapella, her just like playing around. It's like her dancing. It's like her dance videos, right? They're not amazing, but she's just having fun, and I don't judge anybody for just having fun.
The way that she uses social media is very playful. It's very like almost whimsical. Childlike. It's very I'm just doing this thing, and you can come along and watch, and if you don't want to, that's cool too, but like I'm just here doing whatever I'm doing, love you. Like that's really
How we should all be on social media, man. Like
I know, it's really sweet because like for her, it's for her, it seems to me, outsider who doesn't know Britney Spears, obviously, but who loves her, that it's fun. It's just fun. Whereas people, other people, like it's a job, it's a curated thing, it's very like taken in a whole other direction. Whereas she's just like, I'm having a fun time, and you want to see what I'm up to? This is what I'm up to. Thanks for being here. Like she's just taking advantage of being seen and heard just for fun, which is
she really uses Instagram as it's supposed to be, instant. Like she just posts without editing. She was like, I just wanted to post this today, which is how Instagram was meant to be used.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
We were just having such a great time talking about pop culture. It always
sneaks up. It sneaks up.
Sneaks up on us.
I love that episode where you guys had like snacks when you were like eating in the fucking that's amazing. I wish we had snacks now.
I wish too.
Good old summer when we could record outside and eat.
Yeah, when we could live our Britney Spears vibes of just vibing.
I remember that episode trying to eat so like quietly and being like, but it probably made it like ASMR, like
yummy.
Yeah, it was so funny. And then in the next episode, we were at my house recording with Aisha, and the cicadas were just going wild.
Yeah, they were really the audience members that day. Loudest.
We had a live studio audience.
Live studio audience. Very audience.
And when we were recording with Aisha, we were talking about one Miss Britney Spears. And today we are talking about somebody very close to Britney. Some might say she's the antithesis of Britney, her rival, which is not what we're not talking about the feud today. But today we are talking about the Latin career of one Miss Christina Aguilera.
That's right.
Correct. That's correct.
Oh, good, good. I was worried there for a second that I had the wrong topic today.
Oh, no, you're correct. Don't worry. You've showed up with the right material.
Good. I understood the assignment.
So Christina Aguilera, who we all know and love, I'm certain, was born December 18th, 1980, and she is an American singer, songwriter, actress, and TV personality. Referred to as the quote-unquote voice of a generation, she's often credited as one of the artists, as we have just likened her to Britney, which makes sense, who is responsible for having revived the teen pop just genre in general in the late 90s.
Yeah, she was born in New York City but raised in Pennsylvania to Shelley Lorraine Kearns and her Ecuador-born, I'm going to say that again. Just
Ecuadorian.
Ecuador, yeah, I was looking for Ecuadorian. Ecuadorian father, Fausto Xavier Aguilera, who was an army soldier for the U.S. Army.
She got her start at a really young age. She started singing. She sang in 1992 at the Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. She sang the national anthem. So that was her big first start. And much like other pop divas and stars of the time, she, in the 90s, she started with the Mickey Mouse Club. That was her big thing.
She started with Star Search.
Yeah, actually, that's true. She was on Star Trek. And he says her name wrong on it. I watched the clip and he says, he's like, Christina Aguilera or something so strange. It is not her name. Adele Dazeem. It's she belong a Adele Dazeem moment.
She came second to another guy. And then from there, she went on to Mickey Mouse Club with all the gang that everybody knows and loves.
Totally.
It was actually her grandmother that like caught her singing ability. So like she actually grew up sort of all around the world because of her father being in the army. So they moved around. She actually like at the age of two was living in Japan and she didn't speak the language. But one of the things that she did was watch The Sound of Music all the time and she would just sing along. And her mother just like knew she had a nice voice and but like didn't really think much of it. And when they got home to the United States in Pennsylvania, her grandmother was like, no, like she's a singer. She's not just like
fucking around.
She doesn't just sing for fun like all children. She can sing.
That's so funny. It's funny because like there's two kinds of parents in my mind of like young child stars and just young children in general. There's one set of parents that are like, our child is a prodigy. They're amazing. They are doing the best thing in the world. And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But then there's like a whole other school of parents that are like, my kid's just doing a thing and they're having fun. And then it takes other people to be like, no, they're actually really good at it. You should make them do the thing. And they're like, oh, I thought all kids did that. So yeah. I think that's really sweet that that was more her
good old Shelly. She didn't know Christina was
that Shelly. Yeah, she's just like, that's my kid. She's just hanging out.
Just doing what kids do, singing the wheels on the bus.
She thinks she's Marie Von Trapp. She just having a good time. Who didn't think they're Marie Von Trapp?
Singing the big high notes on Climb Every Mountain.
Yeah, of course.
Can you imagine? What kids do?
She's just yodeling in the kitchen again. Like,
we need somebody to do an imitation of Christina Aguilera singing Climb Every Mountain. Like, full, like, pushes.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
That would be an excellent TikTok.
Climb! I can't even do her voice. It's so covered.
Her voice is hard. Yeah, it's like, it's very.
It's so covered. It's so masked sounding. All right. Well, but Christina's home life actually growing up wasn't the most pleasant. Her father was very abusive to her mother, and Christina often witnessed her father belittling and arguing and saying quite nasty things towards her mother. So she was a witness of domestic abuse at a young age. And at one point, her mother left her father and brought her with her, and they lived with their grandmother. And that's actually also when the voice was discovered.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
Don't love the hardship, but love the grandma's.
Yeah.
The best. Who doesn't love a grandma?
And later, just because we're going to really be focusing on her Latin music career today. She like grew up in sort of a bilingual household at a really young age. But after the divorce, it was like she felt sort of her Latina side very cut off from her. And like the Spanish language all of a sudden like disappeared from her life. And she sort of lost contact and like lost the ability to speak any Spanish because, you know, Spanish is, or language in general, is if you don't use it, you lose it a bit. And she describes this later on in life.
Whoa.
Child of divorce.
Yeah. It's tough to be cut off from your culture.
Period. Yeah.
That's really hard.
Well, it's also just, we're going to be jumping ahead a bit with this, but like some of the criticism, I think, with Christina doing Latin music is that, you know, she's a white girl doing Latin music and that she's sort of benefiting off of a culture that she's not truly a part of. But maybe that's unfair of us to say that about her because, you know, she is of Ecuador descent and, you know, she has a Spanish last name, Aguilera, but because she's like blonde and blue eyed and white, very white passing, and then she didn't grow up in the culture, I think there's a little bit of this isn't for you when discussing her Latin music, but maybe we're unfair on that.
Yeah. As somebody who is recently-ish for the past few years reclaiming part of my own personal history that isn't maybe would maybe to some people be like, it's not for you because you didn't grow up in it because of circumstances. I think that's pretty fucked up. Like, it's not fair. Like, I understand where it's coming from, but like, when things are like, you're not this enough, is like, don't we all get that enough from the outside world? Why are we doing that? Why are we policing that on one another? That makes no sense. So
yeah,
you know, that's tough.
Yeah. And Christina's had a bit of a tough life because after this domestic abuse that she witnessed, sort of when kids at school sort of got wind of her being this talented, there was like a lot of jealousy and she often got bullied by other students, to the point where people would slash her mother's tires. And they would, when she would do talent shows, they would unplug her mic. They would try to unplug her mics backstage so that
the audience
couldn't hear her. Yeah.
Oh my God. Saboteur.
It wasn't an inner. Not an inner saboteur, but an outer saboteur.
Like of the RuPaul variety. It is not an inner saboteur, but an outer saboteur. Oh my God, that's very dramatic. Kids are awful sometimes. Like,
kids are mean. Out here
just being fucking mean to one another and making it hard. That sucks, man.
And then the Mickey Mouse Club, this, as you said beautifully, Carly, the Mickey Mouse Club, they sort of come and they do this national audition, and Christina auditions. And actually, believe it or not, on her first round of auditions, she doesn't get it because she was too young, but they keep her on file. And then when they come back around to audition, they like request her and are like, hey, come audition. You're basically guaranteed to be a part of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Love that. Love that so much. Love a second chancer. That's something that people don't talk about a lot. Everyone just assumes that everyone's a first time, like first get, but most of the time that's just not true.
No, and it truly goes to say, like, for all of our actor friends listening, if you don't book the job, it doesn't mean it was a waste of an audition. Like, you could make an impression and truly become a star from a later job opportunity.
Yeah, who's not to say that years down the road, a director will be like, hey, I remember you fully. And you're like, I thought I bombed that audition. And they're like, no, you were great. Love ya. Maybe you want to work on a project I'm working on now. But like, it's so weird how stuff like that works. You just don't have that knowledge because it's not for you to have yet sometimes. And Christina's an excellent example of that.
Exactly.
She is an incredible example. Yes. Like perseverance, you know, believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, despite all the haters talking about her not being Latina enough to like be in the music game, she's been recording music in Spanish for like almost 20 years. And, you know, I grew up listening to Christina in Colombia and people loved her there. They still do. So despite that, I'm sure she's also getting a lot of support from her community.
Yeah. What is like the international sort of you growing up in other countries and you also lived in Thailand and Australia, like, what is sort of the global understanding of Christina's music and the global opinion on Christina Aguilera? Whoa. From your perspective? I know that's a huge, question. You need to
speak as the world.
Whoa. I feel like Christina's like fucking world spokesperson. Okay. There's a lot in that question, but
I know
she's a household name. Like, she's a household name, right? Like, you go to fucking anywhere in the world. I did this show in Dubai when I was at Sheridan with you, Eric.
Yeah.
And I've got this memory of us always like hyping up the crowds with the song that she had with Pitbull. I don't know if we can sing on this podcast, but
yeah, I'll go for it.
I just wanna that one. And you know, so like good. Everybody was like vibing to Christina, like on friggin' the other side of the planet. So that goes to talk about, you know, her reach as an artist worldwide.
Yeah.
They just wanted to feel the moment. I love that.
They just wanted to feel the moment, you know, like she makes music that's catchy. And she performs, you know, she gives it all with the voice. She didn't dance a lot. That's one thing that she doesn't do.
That's true.
But she doesn't need to.
That's also true.
Have you seen Burlesque? She's a great dancer.
You know what? I've only seen like clips of it, but I'm sure she can do it, but she didn't need to.
No, that's fair. That's fair. So going back sort of, so she's on the Mickey Mouse Club. Her and Brittany share a change room. They're actually really good friends growing up, but she's only on the Mickey Mouse Club for two seasons because it gets canceled after the seventh season, and she goes back to regular high school and she gets bullied a lot. Yeah, she gets bullied so much in regular high school that she has to be taken out and homeschooled by her mother.
That's such a bummer. But yeah, also, like, again, kids are the worst. Of course kids they're going to do that to worst. Her. Like, kids hate kids who are trying to do something different that doesn't vibe with what they're trying to do. That's what they exactly. They're like, no. Like, sometimes, like, famous kids are really popular, and so kids like them, and sometimes the famous kids come and they're like, we hate you, goodbye. Like, it really just depends on the vibe, and it's so arbitrary, so dummy, dummy.
Did anybody go to high school with anybody famous? Just fun question.
Good question.
You went to a huge high school.
Yeah, I don't know if I did. No one famous to me.
No one in your circles.
Carly?
No, there was no, I did go to elementary school with a kid who was on one episode of Life with Derek and booked a KFC commercial with her brother.
Oh, and nice.
And sometimes would sing at Blue Jays games. I went to elementary school with her. But besides that, no. That was just because I just wanted to have her child star career. But no, that's about as famous as anyone that I knew was. Oh, that's not true. There was one guy. I went to the same high school as him, but I didn't go when he was there. The guy who won Canadian Idol, who's from Hamilton. He went to my high school.
Is he the blonde guy with curly hair?
No. He had brown hair, I think. Is his name like Brian or something? I don't know. But
our sounds Glee familiar.
Club, our Glee Club
with the glasses?
With I think so. Our Glee Club sang with him.
The first winner.
Yeah. Our Glee Club had a Christmas gig and we sang with him at like the Casbah in downtown Hamilton. That's about it. That's all I got.
Finger 11 went to my high school, but not when I was there. Ryan Gosling went to my high school, but not when I was there. All right. Ryan Gosling, who was on the Mickey Mouse Club with Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera.
Oh my goodness.
Full circle moment, baby.
Yes. The friggin' Mickey Mouse Club. Who else was in there? Britney.
Justin Timberlake. Oh, JC Chazé. The four big ones are Britney, Justin, Christina, Ryan, and then JC JT. Is kind of the...
Yeah.
JT and JC.
JT and JC, both of them. Both the J's. So that's where she gets her big thing. But then, has to go back to high school and is like, wah, wah, wah.
And this is where sort of the rivalry between her and Britney starts, though, is because she had heard that Britney was recording demos. And then she was like, I need to record demos. And then so she records demos. And most of them sort of go over most of record labels heads, but Ron Fair listens to them and he says that only on the last song of the 5-song demo did he like connect with. It was like, I'm gonna bring this girl in. And then
who is this man that you're talking about?
Oh, Ron Fair is this like,
is he big... like a household name at Before There Were Hashtags?
Well, a little bit, because I'm a huge Pussycat Doll fan and he's huge in Pussycat Doll history.
Yeah, he's like involved with people like Vanessa Carlton, the Black Eyed Peas, Fergie, PCD.
Manager, producer.
He's a producer. Yeah.
Producer, arranger, engineer.
Well,
yeah. Yes. He's very in like Pussycat Doll land. Like he's basically the one that was like, Nicole's a star and the rest of you are just going to lip sync to Nicole.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he hears it, but then he also gets a call from Disney, and Disney's like, hey, we need a girl to sing the pop version of Reflection for the Mulan soundtrack.
So iconic.
And they're like,
truly
needs to have basically the same range as Lea Salonga, but like we need a pop voice, not a musical theater voice. And there's a certain interval in the music of Reflection that was on the same song in like on her last song on her demo, and he was like, oh, this Christina girl, she could sing it. So he like brings her in and she sings it perfectly within like three takes and they're like, yep, that's it. She's the girl. And she becomes the reflection girl. So really, Christina's first single really was Reflection from Mulan. And she later names her Spanish album after this very song. Yes.
Love it. And it charted on the Billboard Adult Contemporary when she was 15.
Wow. That song still like stands to this day. I don't know if y'all saw the new Mulan. She re-recorded it.
Yeah, I don't love the re-recording, if I'm perfectly honest.
It's different. You know, it's Christina's evolved.
I think she riffs too much on it. I think she's like trying to make it. I don't think she needed to re-record it personally. Like, I think they should have gotten another singer. Maybe a Chinese singer would have been great for that.
Well, they had two songs. Like, the drama there, you know, I think people were happy that she re-recorded Reflection, because who's going to want to touch Reflection after Christina Aguilera has done it?
And Lea Salonga.
Yeah,
but then there was another song that she recorded that maybe she shouldn't have.
That's true. They do say on American Idol, never touch Mariah, never touch Christina, so.
Never touch Lea Salonga.
Never touch.
We love Lea Salonga.
We're big stans.
Original Kim and Miss Saigon.
A legend among
Jasmine
us.
And Mulan, singing voices only. So after that, so she gets signed to RCA Records, and RCA is like, we're going to make you a star. But they, at the same time, sort of really control her. Like, Ron Fair is like, I'm basically going to create your album and you just have to sing it. So she gets very little control on Genie in a Bottle and all of those fun songs, What a Girl Wants. And so the album comes out and it does really, really, really great. Yeah, goes to number one. It beats Puff Daddy's album, which that was a big upset. People didn't think that was going to happen. And she, in fact, wins Grammy, beating Britney Spears for Best New Artist.
Yeah, in the year 2000, baby. She is the millennium. Wow. She set the tone.
Wow. That was a time.
Mm-hmm. Totally wild.
She's kind of like frustrated though at this time because, well, they released Genie in a Bottle as the first single, and Genie in a Bottle is, it's not vocally her most challenging song, and she like wanted to show off the voice. So she's creatively feeling very frustrated after one album. She's like, it's okay. It's my first album. But she decides to take control. And with her next album, she goes, I want to do a Spanish language album. I've proven that I can sell. I can do what I want.
Hell yeah, girl. I'll get it.
I want to sort of separate myself from Britney, Jessica, Mandy, and sort of do my own thing. So I want to record my first album in Spanish.
Love that for her. Such a brilliant move. Like,
yeah.
Do the thing that sets you apart. I mean, truthfully, even without that, she set apart her voice is like a whole other, you know, stratosphere. Oh. But marketing wise, that's brilliant. What a smart thing.
Mm-hmm. So here's like a little quote from Christina. My message, as in all my music, stands for being fearless to explore who you are. It's never too late to open a new door. Although it's scary to dive into territory that isn't your first language, it still doesn't erase who I am and how I want to express myself in all aspects of what intrigues and inspires me.
Perfectly put, Christina. Like, I relate. I relate to her for that reason, you know, because not that I was like stripped of my Latin heritage or my language, stripped. Pun of the day. But yeah, I just love how she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. She's always to me been out of this grouping of artists that we've, you know, come to know them and grew up with them as. She's the one that is the I don't give a fuck girl. She's the girl that will come out and be brave and be bold and be like, this is who I am. You're welcome. And I think that is so super admirable.
Yeah, and she kind of gets some flack for it, right? Like, because Britney was so wholesome in a way, kind of bordering on, Britney was always a little bit wholesome with like a little eye wink, but where Christina was a little bit more like, I don't give a fuck or, you know, about it. So she was kind of pinned as the bad girl.
Yeah, she's like the Instagram baddie of the group. Like, if there's going to be a baddie, she's the baddie. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes the masses find it hard to like take in a like a strong woman who really is just saying what she's saying and not apologizing mm-hmm. for it and not giving it in like maybe what how they would want to see it in like an approachable, palatable way, though I think she's very approachable and palatable. But because she is just being true to herself and doing what she wants and saying what she wants in whatever language she wants, sometimes people are like, I don't really like her.
Yeah.
It drums up more controversy, which is stupid and dumb.
And girl works hard. I mean, she was she was touring to promote her like debut album.
Yeah.
She was recording this album. And at the same time, she was also recording her Christmas album, My Kind of Christmas.
Girl doesn't stop. She's given it.
But did you know this album was originally entitled Latin Lover Girl?
Which album? Mi Reflejo?
Yeah, Me Reflejo was originally going to be called Latin Lover Girl.
That would have been a problem. Yeah.
That's not correct, girl.
Okay, yeah, good for her. She made the right choice for sure.
Oh, no.
Too funny.
I didn't know that. That's really funny. Latin Lover Girl. LLG. She will be the LLG. LLG,
whoa.
Ooh. Good thing.
Yeah. So the album consists of, I believe, 5 of her original songs from the first album, as well as it contains 5 Spanish versions of her work from the previous album.
Let me see if I can try to name them all. So it would be Ven Conmigo, which is Come On Over.
Yes.
That's the best one.
So good.
Was Mi Reflejo included in that? Like, Reflection?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a Spanish one. Genio en la botella. Genie in a bottle.
Yes.
Do you have the Spanish names with you? Or are you looking at your notes?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And then there's 2 more translations, eh? Yeah. I don't know what the other 2 translations are.
So she has... My Spanish is so bad. I'm just going to give you the English titles. But she has I Turn to You.
Oh, yeah, she does.
And she has, in Spanish, What a Girl Wants.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
And then she has 4 original Spanish songs and I believe 1 cover.
Falsas Esperanzas is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What else does she sing in Spanish? Contigo en la Distancia. Is that the cover? I love that song.
Good. Yeah, I believe. I listened to this. I'm going to be honest. I listened to this album. I loved it, but... because of my lack of gift for language, titles of the songs go a little over my head. But she has a duet on this album with
Ricky Martin.
No, it's with Luis Fonsi.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the Ricky Martin song is, I believe, in English, and that comes later.
What is the one with Luis?
Si no te... I can't even do it. I'm sorry. I'm so...
Just try it.
Do it. You can do it.
Okay. I apologize to all of our Latin listeners.
Oh my God.
I respect your language immensely.
I'm here. It's fine. I'm like telling you to do it.
Si no hebera concido. I'm like literally going to send you it in the chat and then you can read it properly.
Si no te hubiera conocido. Okay. That means... If I hadn't met you. I don't know if I know this one, though. I need to listen to Mi Reflejo again.
Oh, it's good. This, like, the vocal ability.
It's track 6. It's, like, midway through the album.
Yeah. The vocal ability on these 2 is outstanding. I loved listening to it.
Wow.
And it's one of the few songs where I... didn't feel like Christina put that like really dark covered sound on for the whole song.
Yeah,
there's some moments where it's like a little bit lighter in tone and it's so nice to hear that coming from her. My vocal coach talks about like kind of pulling the drum skin tight in order to get like higher notes and you really hear it in their voices. And I love that sound. Non-singers, I'm sorry, that's probably the most confusing reference, but Tom Oliver students, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I feel like you could folks can imagine it though. Like,
yeah, well, as the drum skin gets tighter, the notes get higher. And I just love the vocal technique on this song. And hey, you have to hand it to her. Like, she was working with Luis Fonsi 20 years before Despacito. So Your heart out, Justin Bieber.
Mr. Desposito himself. She was giving it.
And so she worked with Cuban-American producer Ruby Perez for this album, and he was sort of the main producer and the main push behind the album, opposed to the English album, which was mostly Ron Fair.
And the label was BMG US Latin. So
yes,
for this little bad boy.
And the album would debut both at number one on the Latin charts and on the Latin pop charts, selling 442,000 albums in the US alone.
That's a lot. In the US alone, yeah.
And she would go on to be nominated for Best Latin Pop Album at the Grammys and win Best Female Pop Vocal Album at the Latin Grammys. So, killing it, Christina.
Love it.
I think I may have read, I could be wrong, but I read somewhere that she was the first like crossover artist to win a Latin Grammy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that wouldn't surprise me that she would be either the first or one of
few.
Yeah, and like an artist who had previously crossed over from English records to Latin records.
Yes, because I'm thinking who else was a kind of crossover at this time? Maybe Selena, but she started as a Spanish
artist. But she was Spanish to English. Yeah, she was the opposite.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of that. Even today, we see a lot more of Spanish artists singing in English and like crossing over that way, but we don't see the same happening in the other direction. You know, Justin Bieber, you know, dabbled in it, but it wasn't like a full crossover. He didn't do a Spanish language album.
Brought on for a collab. It's not like he crossed over to the market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Demi has done one or two Spanish songs before in their day, but
yeah, I can't really think of an artist that was like, here's my English language album. Next, here's my Spanish language album.
Maybe Becky G. Becky G started off with English. Am I correct in that or no?
I don't know.
You don't know everything on this podcast, but we try. We can't know
everything. There's only three of us. We can't know everything. Off the top of my head, cannot think of someone who went the way of Christina. More just, folks who've crossed from Latin to English instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. Go for her.
Yeah.
She can do it all. She really can.
Now,
she's just one of those people.
I think it would have been stronger, honestly. So I was listening to this album and it feels like two EPs mashed together. It feels a little disjointed between the pop stuff and the truly Latin stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the pop stuff is like Spanish language pop music. It is indistinguishable from her American pop, just that it's in Spanish rather than English. But the truly Latin Spanish stuff sounds like very authentically Latin and Spanish. And it sounds like they should have almost been separate two albums. Like she should have just re-recorded the whole original album in Spanish and just been like, this is my Spanish language version of my first album. And then been like, now I'm going to do a second album that is like pure Latin music. It just feels a little disjointed to me.
That's fair. I mean, it is kind of like a mashup of two vibes. I can understand why maybe she chose to do it that way. Because I can see how she chose to give folks the stuff that she already knew was a hit, but in Spanish. Yeah. She's like, we know this slaps, but here it is in Spanish. You're all going to listen. And honestly, the people who speak English are probably also going to listen because they already know the song, but they'll hear a new version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to give something new that maybe she believed in a little more than that. I'm reading into it, but that's how I would feel if I were her releasing an album in a market that I was trying to break out in.
Yeah. I mean, I think on a marketing sort of standpoint, it's smarter. And I kind of understand like from the record labels probably being like, we're a little nervous for you to do a Spanish language album. So why don't we hedge our bets and, you know, just sprinkle in some true Latin music with the stuff that we already know sells. So that makes sense. But I think as a creative piece of work, I'm a little bit like,
you wanting more. Yeah.
It's a little bit like throwing a 1989 song in the middle of Taylor Swift's Folklore. Like you'd be like, it's a little like head whiplash.
Yeah, from the it's still the vibe, but it's not the same vibe. Yeah. I totally get that. I don't disagree with you. I as a whole artistic piece, I'm like, I think they just wanted to put out some good Latin music and put it in a bundle and went, here's a bouquet of flowers instead of here's a cake we've baked where it's all, you know, mishmashed. Here's a bouquet of flowers where each individual thing is beautiful and together it makes a thing, but it doesn't mean that it's all homogenous. Not mad at it. Not mad at it at all. And she followed up, like we said, she's a busy gal, with My Kind of Christmas, which was really funny.
Yeah.
Right away. She's a busy girl.
She
like,
is.
Like September, October, boom, boom, month. She was like, here's music. Here's some more. Yeah.
Do you have any memories, Nico, of growing up listening to this album in Colombia?
I do. I really do. It was a vibe. Like, yeah, like I said, it just brings me back. She's been like such a constant. It's actually been great to see her evolve through the years. But yeah, she hits close to me because I, as a young little queer boy, I related to her in some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's been a huge LGBT supporter throughout her whole career. So it's sort of amazing how her reach has been, you know, to so many different disenfranchised groups and has kind of empowered them and brought them together in a way.
Yeah.
Now, there's a really interesting interview that she does with Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. We love the queen herself.
So Rosie, she doesn't need a second last name. Yeah,
she's like Cher. She just needs one name.
Yeah. So she does this interview with Rosie O'Donnell in which Rosie goes, have you ever considered changing your last name? And like Christina stands firm and she goes,
I
made it sound bad on Rosie. Rosie sort of says it more in the way of like, have people ever tried to get you to change your last name in the music industry? Mm. And Christina says, like a lot of people have tried to get me to change it. And like, go by like Christina A or Christina AG or something like different, something maybe a little bit more anglicized or something just a little bit, I say in quotation marks, easier to say. But like she like stands firm that like she is a Latina and that she wants to represent her Ecuadorian last name and her Ecuadorian history and past and her heritage. So, you know, she's and this is like back in this is probably before the album, like 1999. So for all those people sort of criticizing her, saying like, you know, she's not really part of the culture, like she's always been proud and always like stood firm in who she was as a Latina woman.
I agree. Yeah. Like she's always stood strong.
Yeah.
And like considering that she didn't grow up with it, the fact that she still wanted to connect and carry her last name proudly just speaks to the, you know, the honesty in her actual pride as a Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like there's so many times where maybe it could have behooved her to be like, no, that's not like, you know, to change her name, to drop that part of her identity, to like ignore it. So many before her have benefited from it, but it really does speak to her tenacity, her badassery, that she's like, no, this is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be loudly. So,
and not to mention like she was competing in a market with like some of the most Americanized sounding names. Britney Spears, Mandy Moore, Jessica Simpson. True. Like those are white bread, corn fed American girl names.
Come on, corn. You gotta bring corn into this. No, it is like a parade of white girl names. And then here comes Christina Aguilera. Like, I'm just doing my thing, which I love for her.
And she wasn't really trying to compete in the Latin market. Like she doesn't. Mm. She doesn't stereotypically look like a Latina, but she was like, put her name on it and stamped it. And like, no, like this is who I am. And I'm not going to be afraid to share that. And I think that's wonderful and great.
And that is something incredible that she doesn't have this stereotypical look. And she shows that Latinas can look however they are, that Latinx folks are super diverse.
But her Latin music doesn't actually stop there. So she records a Latin music song for the victims of 9/11 with such artists as Gloria Estefan, Jennifer Lopez, and Ricky Martin, Luis Fonsi, all these people. And the song is called
El Último Adiós, The Last Goodbye.
Oh, so beautiful.
Beautiful.
She continues with this Latin music, the Spanish speaking, the Spanish language songs. And she includes two Spanish language songs on her next album, Stripped. So even though the whole album as a whole was not a Latin album, she still continues to
What were the sing. Songs on Stripped?
They were...
I'm learning so much, y'all.
Before she does Stripped, though, she did do Lady Marmalade with literally everybody for Moulin Rouge.
That is very true. Which, she does do that.
Yeah,
you have to just mention that. Deserves
some a mention, for sure.
Yeah, that's the big times. Oh, yeah. Like, it's everything.
So the two songs on Stripped are called...
Primer Amor, Interlude, and Dámelo, Que Yo Te Doy. I need to, I don't know if I know these. I need to listen to them. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, but before, yeah, so before she does Stripped, she sort of flexes her sexy muscles doing Lady Marmalade.
Yeah.
With yeah, so fun. Listen, that video like looked so fun. Like imagine being on that set. Like those girls must have been living their lives.
Oh, right? It looks like luxury. It looks like everything you could dream of. It's like, here it is.
And the girl power of it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
Christina got a lot of flack, though, for that video, because it was sort of her, I'm a woman, and I'm going to dress a little bit more sexy and provocatively. Because before that, people had really only seen her as, like, the genie in a bottle girl, or the what a girl wants girl. She was not known for being, like, she was the girl next door. She was like a Britney, and this was her first sort of stepping out into... being a woman.
Well, it was her literally at the Moulin Rouge. Like, she's like, hello, tis I, another lady at the Moulin Rouge. So it really was like she couldn't have stepped out more. You know, like she really went like,
And hey, we can connect it back to her Latin roots because it's French, and French is also a Latin-based language.
That's true.
That's true. That's really true. That's
It's not a lie.
It's not incorrect. Not at all.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? All my French listeners are going to be mad at me for that. Because
all
I didn't
say
it right.
All the Frenchies in the room. Cheer for Eric. Oh, what beautiful sounds. They're cheering for you, Eric. They love
thank you.
They love your French. They love your Spanish. They love your English. They just love you, kid.
Yeah, they're so supportive.
Wow.
Thanks, listeners. And then, so after that, she in 2006 records a song with Bocelli.
Oh, Andrea Bocelli. What a guy. Bocelli, what a legend.
Called
Somos Novios. We are boyfriend and girlfriend.
Really? That's what it's called? That's the translation? Well, I love that.
Like, we don't, novios, this is not really gendered in Spanish, but that's what it means. Like, we're a couple. Or, like, we're dating, whatever.
They're a thing. They're an item.
Yeah, they're
something. They're the moment.
And then she also has a bilingual song on her next album, on the album Bionic.
Wait, are we just going to skip through like Stripped?
Well, I was focusing more on Latin music. That's sort of where my focus was going. But if you want
I think we should talk about it because I feel like
we've mentioned other things that are not
of
pertaining
course.
Okay. Her Latin heritage here.
I apologize.
I just remember like that album for me being like the one, like the Xena album for me. Like,
oh yeah.
Stripped, like that, her cover, the cover for that album is just her against like a white backdrop standing. I remember I had a poster, not in my room, but I was like too in the closet to like hang it up in my room, but I like kept it rolled up in a drawer or something.
Oh, that's so cute.
And like also the music video for Beautiful was like one of the first scenes of a gay kiss that I'd ever seen, so that really stuck with me, that music video.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that differed so greatly from her first album.
Totally.
I wonder how she was able to just get away with that with her record label. Like, they gave her a lot of freedom.
Well, I think
he really didn't seem held back in any way. Like, Dirty's in that album, I believe. And like, Dirty was big part of my sexual awakening.
No, I watched an interview with Christina. So most of my information comes from this MTV MTV documentary on Christina, and she talks about how she like went up to Ron Fair and basically was like, hey, like I've proven that I'm popular, I'm proven that like my ideas are good with like my Spanish language album, like let me do what I want, trust me, it will be good. And they put together Stripped, and I think it kind of catapulted her from being just
like that. Tenacity is just so admirable, like you really have to hand it to her.
Yeah.
I too think this album cover is iconic. It's like what I think of too when I think of Christina. I'm like, bam.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just goes to show time and time again, every time we do an episode like this, Eric, on like an early aughts, like woman artist of some music artist of some kind, whenever they're given the reins a little, whenever they're given the chance to do something they really believe in and say what they want to say, it does fucking well. And it's kind of like their iconic moment. So
it is,
I love that.
Yeah. It's also really interesting just to bring the comparison to Britney back. Like Britney has sort of three albums before, like In the Zone is her like most adult album up and sort of around this time. But she has three albums where Christina did it really in two. Like she did in terms of English albums, and like her Spanish language album is sort of the same as her English album. So it's not like a new era. She does it in very much two eras. She goes from like Girl Next Door to full Xtina.
Yeah.
Britney really takes like four albums to get into like full adult.
Yeah, I just think that's cool.
So cool. It's so badass. Yeah, this is absolutely badass. Excellent. Badass.
Badass. And I mean, that Dirty video is iconic.
True.
Yeah. When I remember, I don't know if that was the same case here in Canada, but when I watched it in Colombia, parts of it were restricted and like the screen went like red when it was too dirty. So it was like, it was, I guess some of it was banned.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, that was very sexy for like, the times. Still is fucking sexy, actually.
By today's standards, it's not tame, but it's not like
crazy. Oh yeah,
it's not,
of course,
when we have WAP, it's not like super out of the like realm of normalcy. But at the time, like assless chaps and dancing in a shower, like in like the public shower where it's like all the girls.
Yeah, and like people still dress up as Xtina from that video to this day for Halloween.
It's pretty freaking iconic. It really is.
And the runs, just her voice on it, that wasn't very good, but you get the point.
It sounded exactly like her. What are you talking about? I heard it.
Thanks.
You're welcome,
Nico. You're like the riffing.
That's not a
bad Christina.
Thank you. I worked on it when we took a little break.
Come through.
It's like you have to just put it in your mouth and keep it there. That's it.
Girl, give it to us again. Give it to us again.
I won't be able to now. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No, not as good.
I'm obsessed.
Hey, forever.
Do what I can. Oh, are we at car wash yet?
We can talk about car wash. We love car wash
because
working
at the car wash. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, epic. And Missy was on that too.
Yes,
it was Xtina and Missy.
Yes, a truly iconic.
Yeah, I love where she works with like other powerful female rappers. She had that song with. Was it Lil' Kim on Stripped? And I really love that.
Yeah.
Well, she also worked with Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim's on Lady Marmalade too.
That's right.
And Missy. Missy is also on Lady Marmalade. Very briefly, but she is on it.
Yeah.
And
Pink's there too. Just like
Maya.
That's right. Yeah.
I just love at the end when it's Missy going through all like the voices, and it gets Lil' Kim, and Lil' Kim goes, "Hey. Hey, 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 hey." Like that.
I love that part. Hey.
It's all the girls just ripping for days. It's too good.
Iconic.
Speaking of duets, though, sorry, going a little bit back into her Spanish music. So she actually did release a duet with Mexican star Alejandro Fernandez. So she's continuing sort of doing her crossover roots. And it peaked at number 5 on the Hot Latin Songs chart in August 2013.
That's pretty hot.
And Nico, you said how much you enjoy when she works with other powerful females, especially rappers. Well, in October of this year, she released her first Spanish language song in many years called Pa Mis Muchachas with Becky G, Nicki Nicole, and Nathy Peleso. I hope I pronounced those all right. She performed it at the 22nd Annual Latin Grammy Awards, and it is in anticipation to her Spanish language album that will be out probably in 2022.
I cannot wait for this album.
Yeah, she's really making her return to the Latin world, and we love it. She's also released another song called Somos Nada. Yeah.
Yes. Epic, beautiful ballad. Y'all it's should really
beautiful. Yeah, oh, I listened to it. It was stunning, so good.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Christina. She can sing the freaking phone book. She could sing gibberish to me, and I would love it.
Well, but I have a quote about Ron Fair. This is going back a little, but after her self-titled debut album,
yeah,
he said of her voice that she had, and I quote, "pipes to be the next Barbara Streisand or Celine Dion." Like he was like, "She's got it." Like. Yeah. And honestly, if I'm going to be this girl, she's got a better voice than both of them. Like, am I wrong? Like,
no.
Am I wrong in saying that? Because I don't think I am. Who doesn't love Babs?
The French Canadians are coming for you. The French Canadians are coming.
Well, and they can come for me all they like. Because I am.
I just think we can appreciate them all. We don't need to compare.
That's fair. I love her. I think she's incredible.
She said that she's recorded at least 3 albums worth of songs, so lots to choose from. She's putting the work into this album, and
good for her.
She I was watching this great interview with Billboard with her at the Latin Grammy Awards, and she just was saying that, like, what's beautiful about the Spanish language is that it's, like, hard to translate directly into English. So, like, she has to be so much more eloquent with, like, word selection and what she wants to get across with the language and while working with these writers. Because, you know, she's working with native Spanish speakers to help her with this album, of course. But how much she's enjoyed the process of, like, really dissecting the Spanish language. And I was saying, too, like, listening to her ballad, like, she can, like, literally sing gibberish and I would love it. But Spanish, like, Latin languages are so pretty to the ear. There's no wonder why opera is all in Italian, French, and Spanish, because it's just so beautiful to hear.
Growing up as someone who, French is my second language because of school and things. And growing up Italian, yeah, everything is prettier when it's not in English to some degree. Like, there is a reason why folks think of these languages as the romance languages, because they're just stunning. They're just beautiful. They're very poetic.
Yeah, that's the word, poetic.
A special cadence to them. There's a rhythm. They're very rhythmic. Whereas English is a lot more cut up and can be what you want it to.
Yeah.
There's reasons why things like people like Shakespeare choose a metric to use and don't just let the language do its thing. Like, there's a reason why, like, iambic pentameter sounds so different from something like Alexandrine's. Like, it just flows so differently.
It's also even interesting, English as a language. So I'm stealing this from TED Ed, but if you look at the words like a hearty welcome versus a cordial reception, cordial reception has its roots in, like, French and Latin based words. And those were used by, like, the upper elite, and words like hearty welcome, which mean the exact same thing, have more roots in Germanic and Anglo-Saxon language. So it even shows there that, like, eloquent language tends to come more from the Latin world, where more sort of at lower class language, I apologize, is more German, Germanic, and Anglo-Saxon in nature.
Well, because of the time, whoa, think of the people who were speaking the Romance languages. They yeah. were schooled. They were schooled to speak many yeah. different languages. So
it's also wow. from the Norman conquest. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the Norman kings came over and like took over England. So that's why French-based words are much more eloquent to our eloquent, for example, is more of a French-based word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds beautiful.
Right. And that's also the hard thing about English is there are so many different roots to it that it sounds like a mishmash because it is a mishmash.
Yeah. Well, I think we've reached today's time. So why don't we finish up?
But one quick thing. I just want to say how much I totally forgot what her version of Reflection was.
Growing up, I loved Elise Longa's version so much. I got so mad when the ex Tina, because she changes the words. She sings different words. And so as a kid, I yeah. knew the version in the movie, of course. And so when I would have to listen to the one in the credits with ex Tina, though it was beautiful, I would always get mad. Or like if I was a kid and I like did karaoke at like a friend's house or whatever, and it was the ex Tina version, I would be like, I don't know this one. I don't like this one. I was so mad about it. So when I re-listened to it, I forgot that the ending is she's Christina Aguilera. She just does what she wants. And it's so funny. And I was just listening to it now as we're on a little break. And she just goes like, when we are in love. Like, beautiful. I totally forgot. Like, it's like, when we are. I'm just like, oh, she's taking a bath. Like, that's what it feels like. Show who I am inside. Like, I just totally forgot she's having like a little sing bath at the end. I just loved it. It's so funny. Because the whole time she's like, somehow I cannot, you know, and then she just goes like, yeah, inside. I'm like, I love it, girl. Get it.
Beautiful. Love yes. that.
Beautiful.
Dynamics. She's also the queen of yes. runs.
She is.
The vocal agility and dynamics.
She gives it to us every time. I don't know why I'm surprised.
She really does. She was one of my favorite coaches on The Voice. Her masterclass is fucking fantastic.
Wow, I bet.
Yeah, and it's, you know, her instrument has lasted her all this time, so she must be doing something right.
Right? There's so, we talk about, it comes up, honestly, pretty often-ish on this podcast, and, well, in life, as doing what we all do. People are so, like, hard on their instruments. She's somebody who stands a test and, like, is better and better every time.
Nico, do you have any last fun opinions on Christina that you want to share?
Fun opinions on Christina.
Mm.
So all I want to say is that I'm really looking forward to her Spanish album. And if y'all have not listened to some of her old Spanish stuff, it's really, really stunning. My favorite, personal favorite, is a cover of hers that she did. I forget who does the original, but the song is called Contigo en la Distancia. And you guys should put this in the show notes because it really is a stunning, stunning song. And also the runs at the end of Falsas Esperanzas, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
Incredible.
All right. Well, I think that brings us back to today.
Back
so
to the now.
Let us talk about our pop picks. So at the end of every episode, we like to talk about what we're listening to, what we are consuming, yes. what in pop culture are we loving right now. So Nico, what are your pop picks?
I get to go first. Yay! I'm really loving Alicia Keys' new album, Keys. She recorded an unlocked and locked version of each song. So she's got like half of the album is like more instrumental vibes. The other is more like produced, more electronic. And yeah, I play it almost literally every day. That's my pick.
Wow. I love it.
That's excellent. What a good pick.
Miss Carly, what are your pop picks for the week?
Well, I'm going to stay in the Latin music realm because it's weird, but Christmas time ever since last year, I got really into Selena last year at this time. And so I'm going to say Selena and all of her incredible discography. Specifically, I was listening on vinyl this past week to Selena Ones, the like number one hit.
So she's my cool.
favorite. My boss,
who's really my friend
at my retail job, she's obsessed with her. She has been her whole life. And I like got semi-obsessed with her in 2020. And then through 2021, have also been absolutely obsessed. I watched the TV show, watched the 90s movie a bunch of times. Like on my other podcast on Ghosts Are Everywhere, I did the story of her death and her career. And it's a whole episode on that podcast. We usually split up into two stories, but it was such a big story that I wanted to do because apparently she like haunts the hotel. Like people see her ghosts and stuff. They do for a lot of famous people who've passed.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so
She was shot at like the Holiday Inn somewhere. Yes. Where was it? Like Atlanta or like something random?
Like Corpus Christi, Texas.
Corpus Christi, Texas. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, I love her. I stan her. For some reason, for me, getting into the spirit has turned into me listening to a bunch of Selena. So I'm living for her. She to me is like the warmth that gets me through the cold months. So more Selena in our life, more, you know, more Spanish music, more. Yeah.
Well, Christina, she's coming.
She's coming for us. She's giving it to us.
You know what?
It's so exciting.
I kind of agree. There's something about Latin music that is sort of also festive in a way that has sort of a holiday vibe to it. I don't know why.
There's a lot of horns, there's a lot of bells, yeah. There's a lot of like things that are like
tropical sounds.
Yeah, bring in the party. So yeah.
I was just listening to the album and I was like, I could like, I'm vibing to the it feels tropical and yet I'm in this like icy climate, but it feels right. Mm. There's something that works just position between the two that feels right and kind of holiday in a way. I don't know. It's just my take. It doesn't mean anything. Well,
it's the power of music, right? Like it transports each of us to a different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Totally. Eric, what's your pop picks for the week, our pal?
Okay. Well, we've done a whole episode on this, but and it's a bit of a throwback. But I am rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender, and nice. I am loving it. Just past the episode where Zuko joins the team. Spoiler, sorry, but if you haven't watched by now, it's been out since 2005. So
you'll be okay. You'll be okay. With the spoiler, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so awesome. I don't know. It's great, and they're coming out like there's a lot of Avatar news coming. With their Netflix is doing a live action. Mm-hmm. Paramount Plus has the rights to the animated show. So they're going to be doing movies of the animated show and new seasons. Like they're expanding the whole universe again, partly because of Netflix, because they put it on Netflix recently or US Netflix. And it kind of opened up everybody's eyes to it again. And people are like, oh, the show's awesome. It's so good. So it's coming back, friends. If you're into Avatar, watch out for it. But now I need to get Paramount Plus, and I'm like, another streaming service.
Damn.
I know. Paramount Plus has some good stuff on it.
What's on there?
There's this TV show called Ghosts. It's the American version of the BBC version. There's a TV show that I just watched on it called Women Who Kill. There's the drag singing competition. That one was
incredible. I saw that on Prime, though. It's also so good. On Prime. I loved it.
It has, but I think Paramount Plus has both seasons.
Yeah.
There's a second one. I'm getting Paramount Plus as soon as we get out of this fucking
Zoom. It's a different format, but it's still very excellent. It's back excellent.
Queen of the Universe.
Queen of the Universe with Trixie Mattel and Michelle Visage and Vanessa Williams and
Leona Lewis
and Graham Norton's the host. So there's like that alone. House sat for my cousins when they were away last month, and I zoomed through Paramount Plus because I was like, I don't have it, but they do. Let me watch everything I could possibly watch.
Oh my goodness. You can't even get like a free trial on here. So annoying.
Wow, that's annoying. Paramount Plus, sponsor us and give us access.
Yes.
Nico needs to see the second season of Why Women Kill, please.
All right. Well, Nico, we have enjoyed having you so much on our last guest list episode. And you're so wonderful. And your knowledge.
What a gift to have you here, Nico. Thank you.
Yeah. Your knowledge of Christina and also of Latin music and of your culture has been such a wonderful thing that you got to share with us. And we're so grateful that you could come on here and talk to us today.
I'm so honored to have been your last guest of the year. Ooh. Maybe is that right?
No, yeah, you are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And just really proud of you guys as well.
Aww,
for
thanks.
All the hard work and putting the content out there.
Thank you. Well, and I just wanted to give a big like thank you to my wonderful co-host Carly, as it's the end of the year. And this year and Nico, you've really helped me out with this year too, but just within the context of the podcast, I just want to thank Carly because it's been a really hard year for me. And this podcast has really given me something to focus on and some light in my life. Like one thing that I can control and make sure that it's good. And having you here who has done another podcast, so you have the expertise, has been such a wonderful thing that I get to experience this with you, one of my best friends. And because of it, I get to share this podcast with a bunch of other friends like you, Nico, who get to come on and guest. Woo! And it's just been so wonderful. And yeah, I want to
thank you, Eric, because you, my friend, I'm here every week, but you're the heart and soul of this baby. You keep me going. You keep us all going, keep us all coming back every week. And we love you. So this is wonderful. What a way to spend 2021. Mm-hmm. And here's to the next.
Here's to 2022. May it be better than the last 2 years. But, you know, we're going to walk in slowly. We're going to do our best. But yeah, it's going to be great. Nico, like, where can people find you? Do you want to plug anything? Ah. What would you like to, like,
if
tell everybody?
If you are in the GTA area, you can check out my arepas. Talking about like the Latin vibes, I guess.
Yeah.
I love to cook, and I just started selling my homemade Colombian cheese arepas. I took some to Eric the other day.
They're
delicious.
I'd love
to take some to you, Carly, sometime soon.
Oh.
I had them
with Christmas dinner. That sounds like a dream, Nico. Yeah, I saw them on your Instagram story.
Yeah,
there,
I had it with Christmas dinner.
How can I get Nico's arepas? So
we
really
deliver.
Excited.
We can get you hooked up with some good arepas.
And where can people find you on the Instagram or Twitter?
People can find me on Instagram at JomoJamoNick, which I'm sure you're gonna tag me or put it on the notes.
Tag you on the Instagram for sure.
That means my name's Nick in Spanish.
Love it.
Woo-hoo.
So we're going to sign off for this year. We're going to take a little bit of a break in the new year because January is always kind of a slow month for the podcasting community. So we're just going to take it easy. We'll be back. Don't you worry. And yeah, once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Nico for being on this pod. Woo-hoo. And this has been Before There Were Hashtags. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.